Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing family films, so I picked the movie Swiss Family Robinson, made in 1960. We also did MacGyver Season 2, Episode 1, called The Human Factor. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and the man with his own stormtrooper, Ryan Preston. So here's the description of the Swiss Family Robinson, which is originally a book, and apparently nobody in IMDb read it. It's a Swiss Family Robinson must survive being shipwrecked on a deserted island. There's more to the story than that.
No.
I mean, well, it's basically that, and then shenanigans ensue, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
They probably didn't know how to spell shenanigans.
There's a lot of A's in it. The funniest thing is, originally, this was a Disney movie that actually had a cartoon play before it. The DVD version of it actually has that cartoon on it.
That's nice.
I didn't watch
the cartoon. Yeah, back obviously, back then, I mean, you know, when they were still doing the Let's All Go to the Lobby thing for intermission. And yeah, I mean, you know, Disney movies were preceded by cartoons. That's just how it was. I had a bunch of videos when I was a kid that always had the cartoon before. For the movie, but this one, name me any person who didn't want that treehouse, you know? Right?
And I would say this for Disney movies, in my opinion, was the kind of the golden era of Disney family movies.
When they were still making, you know, real flicks about, you know, sort of these kind of fantasy things, but not cartoons, you know? Yeah. They actually branched off into stuff like this. This 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was Disney.
I actually love this movie, and the cast is amazing. You got Mills, Dorothy McGuire, James MacArthur, that went on later in life, actually not quite that later, to play Dano on Hawaii Five-0. Janet Morano, who unfortunately died sometime after this.
She was only 38 when she died, which is kind of sad.
And you had Tommy Kirk and Kevin Corcoran, who were in a lot of movies together. As a matter of fact, Disney movies. So this was a very iconic cast for the 60s.
Yeah, it was very good, and still kind of holds up. I mean, it being a period piece really helps that. And something about, you know, when you're making movies in the 60s about some people on a deserted island, you go so far as to just, like, build a shipwreck, you know, and build a treehouse, because there is no real technology to help you out. Unless you're going to need Young Frank. Frankenstein thing with the castle where they just held up a postcard.
Yeah, but the thing is they were actually able to get, like he said, all the amenities that you would want that you would find at that period of time, because wasn't this like the 16th, the 12th century, something like that? 16th? I think it was...
I actually don't remember.
They were fleeing from Napoleon.
Somewhere around the age of piracy.
Yeah. Anyways,
so we're talking, what, mid-1600s?
Yeah, I think about it was the 1600s. There. But I liked the ingenuity that they came up with, and it was practical effects. It wasn't like, you know, they didn't really build the sets. They had guys out there literally building the sets and to do this.
The most amazing thing about this is this was so apparently so revolutionary, or so people wanted this so bad, they actually made the damn treehouse in Disneyland.
They're still part of it there today.
Yeah. And Disney absolutely World still has it. I mean, for a while it was named Tarzan's Treehouse or something.
Exactly. They've changed names over the years, but when I was a kid, James, I mean, you were living down here when you were a kid, and that was the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually had more than just the one little small treehouse. They had, like, this whole thing that you could go. And they actually still have part of it today over by the Indiana Jones ride, where the kids can run up and run around the treehouse thing. But yeah, they had that, and they had the full Pirates of the Caribbean going at that time, like ship on ship battles and all that crap. But yeah, they really put a lot of effort into the Swiss Family Robinson over at Disneyland, because it was a big thing for many years. I was born 81, and this is 20 years old by then, and they're still running it. So,
and
that's to say something about the movie and how much people liked it.
This, when it comes down to the basic of the movie, I mean, it's a very simple movie filled with archetypes. You have the father character, mother character, etc. But it works really well because it's a very simple storyline, extremely linear, nothing complicated. And it really is a really well-done movie. There are some really weird things, like the end with the pirates, when you have the logs just bounce off of somebody's head.
I mean, that's like the coolest part of the whole movie is when they defend their island. Yeah. I mean, you get this, like, Gilligan's Isle style, you know, with the coconut bombs and things like that. People died in Disney movies back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Yeah. But, I mean, swashbuckling, I mean, aside from the world's coolest treehouse and catching a tiger and the race with the ostrich and all the animals that they find, then you get pirates? I mean, come on, this movie has fucking everything that you'd ever want.
Wait a minute. You mean those pirates died when they fell in that tiger pit?
No, they flew out.
I thought they just petted it and walked out.
No. The tiger, they lived. A couple of them lived. But nobody's living getting whipped off a mountain or being shot. Those muskets, you know.
Dude, that chick. That chick, when she pulled that up and shot that shell right off the bat, I mean, like, that's an impressive shot. If you haven't fired a black powder gun with a ball.
Those weren't actually muskets, by the way.
Yeah, but, but you know what I'm saying. It's the ball black powder rifles. That was a hell of a shot.
Oh, yeah. it looks like they were shooting Brown Besses, which is one of the guns the British used through.
He's a Brown Bessie fan.
Yeah, I actually have one. So, for some reason it's kind of hard to talk about this movie too much just because
it's not a really, really in-depth story.
Oh no.
It's a very, that's the thing about kid movies is you don't want a very complicated story. You want something that kids can get into and just have fun with their imaginations running wild with this fantasy lifestyle.
And the thing
you want to be that kid. You want to catch that tiger and have an elephant as a pet, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing I think I really appreciate the most, and granted this is a different era than today, is this was a movie that kids could watch and adults would watch at the same time and get the same enjoyment factor. They didn't have to do what they do in Shrek by making very highly inappropriate jokes in it.
Yeah.
And it was actually well thought out. Granted, it was actually based off a book that was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I read the book a long time ago. I don't remember all of it, but I remember a good chunk of it.
I have the audiobook somewhere. And it's just...
Go figure.
Maybe it's next to your Brown Bess.
Nope, that's hang up. But there are some pretty good quotes in this. One of it made me laugh is the... This is Father Robinson was, the world is full of nice, ordinary little people, ordinary little people who live in their nice, ordinary little houses in the ground. But don't you ever dream of a house up on a treetop. Besides the fact that it took me a long time to read, that quote always made me laugh.
Well, I love
the response to it also.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was actually kind of cool that they did the tree up top and everything like that, and they actually even, you know, try to explain that there was a land bridge and everything. I don't think I'd want to live on a former land bridge, to be honest, just kind of throwing that out there length of time.
Well, I thought that what they said, there was a land bridge connecting it, that was a land bridge.
Well, he was saying that it was part of the land bridge.
Oh, yeah,
to different areas is what they were kind of saying, which means that it's kind of shifting plates type thing, you know. I may not have thought about that at the time, but that's kind of what it was. But that's why they were explaining all the different animals that are around, whether it was the elephant, just one lonely little baby elephant.
Besides the fact, I think this was filmed on Tobago, I read, so it means they imported most of those things.
Yeah, and by ship, probably.
The coolest thing is I read that after Disney stopped filming, they were going to tear it down and the island actually asked for them to leave it up, and it was destroyed in 63.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be looking at them like, I'm sorry, what are these guys doing with these sledgehammers? Oh, they're going to tear down the house. Why on earth?
Yeah, no, would you do that? No, you're not.
Built town, you know, tourist attraction.
Shame myself to that thing. You're not tearing that down.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know, if you actually look at all the stuff in those things, like Disney was going all out at decorating and making everything cool. Which I really enjoyed.
And I still think this is you know, they had like the 90s was the golden age of Disney animation, or the second golden age. I definitely don't think this would be considered the golden age of Disney movies. I mean, granted, they own Marvel, they own other stuff, but...
Oh, you're talking about that at this time. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about...
Oh, no. Excuse me.
This time wasn't golden age.
Well, like now, like back in the 60s, I think this was the golden age of Disney television, golden age of Disney movies. Nowadays, I have a hard time saying that it's the golden age of Disney television and movies, because none of it is their original content.
Yeah, I would say...
I mean, not to say Swiss Family Robinson was, but they put their twist on it.
Well, I would say right now Disney has basically created a conglomerate that they own so much stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, they got Marvel, they got Pixar, they have... I'm missing another one of their art departments. They got Lucas.
They've always had a couple of things. They've always had Buena Vista.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of little studios. Time Warner, and then Independent Pictures, which is now something else. I can't remember, but they've always kind of had their.
Hello, Ryan.
Surreptitiously in other things or in other types of filmmaking, but Disney Banner.
Yeah, I mean, but at this time. They were competing with MGM. They were competing with Warner Brothers, and Paramount as well.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of companies that they were fighting against. So I think they put more effort into their films,
Disney was always good at the escapism kind of thing, yeah. You know.
And Disney was really innovative. I mean, if you take a look at the puppet from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, for example. Or they were the first company that did audio animatronics. So this, come an innovation level, this movie wasn't high-end, but
no.
It still left you going, hey, this is neat.
Yeah.
I mean, the props...
I mean, still, even in the 60s, few studios had as much money to whip around as Disney, you know?
Yeah.
So they had the production value.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, too, was Disney was willing to risk it, because he risked everything on Snow White.
Well,
so
I mean,
I think that was something they at that point realized that if they did the right thing, they'd get, you know, a really good return.
Yeah. I mean, well, Walt was still alive during this time.
They were already a brand. They already had the theme park for what, 6 years when this came out? So they had really established themselves. So but he was still ambitious in...
Oh, no.
Every
totally.
Time you get into things.
I know.
You know, and it original Disney.
Yeah.
No, totally.
But, you know, I mean, as far as the studio stuff that they put into it, the practical effects, and when I say studio, obviously didn't do it in a studio, but I'm talking about the set design.
Yeah.
And the way they filmed everything and showed the different parts of the island as well as they did. Like, you have the kid kind of hunting the tiger for a little while. You know, I think the characters, they didn't really have a lot of... depth to them, but there wasn't much depth that was needed. Like you said, yeah. You have the father, the son, the random girl that shows up.
Because you had the geek, you had the kind of the muscle guy, you had the little kid, you had the token woman, you had the mother, the father. I mean, it was very archetype. There was pretty much no character that was separated from the typical characters.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that was like spectacular. There didn't need to be over well acted scenes.
But I think
they still were well acted because at the time, we're going back to the time period, not very many films were being put out. So a lot of the actors had to put more effort into the roles that they were doing because if they flopped, they flopped. There was, like I said, there's not a lot of movies out. Like they didn't have where are we at? 10 movies a month now about that get released?
And I would say just like 12 Angry Men, granted it's a tad bit different, the archetypal characters, they're well written enough that they carry itself. This is a little bit more of a simple movie, so you don't need as much depth to it. But this is proof that having an atypical character, it will work if you do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think, Ryan?
Yeah.
I'm hard pressed to think about something about this movie that wasn't right or wasn't just incredibly, you know, magical. Not even for the time, but now. I mean, almost 60 years later.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, what are we at 56 years? And this movie holds up. I mean, I think you can show this to a kid. And aside from a little bit of pacing, I mean, I think a kid's going to look at this and be like, oh, shit, look at all the cool animals. Oh, what are they doing now? Oh, shit, is that a tiger? You know, whereas nowadays we're looking at, you know, CGI tigers. And sure, it looks beautiful and people win awards for it. But it's not... It's not a tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a treehouse. It's not this shipwreck with these pirates and coconut bombs.
You know, it's funny you mentioned timing. When I was a kid, I thought parts of this movie were slow. As an adult, I realized this movie was really fast-paced.
Yeah, I think the probably parts that you thought were slow was the brothers having their issues.
And oh, yeah.
Right. And all that crap, but...
But that's because you were too young to give a shit about the relationship between them and the troll.
And that relationship thing I'm thinking of, well, I think that was the part for the adults. Something for the adults to latch onto. Or maybe young, you know, young teens.
Yeah, it's
well,
a young teens.
Because it's all about like, oh, well, who would you be in that? Well, obviously I would have been the kid, you know, because I was young. And my dad would have been sitting there like, oh, wow, there's another girl on the island. Oh, I have two boys. Well, that's going to be interesting. And they, I mean, they have the same reactions, you know.
Cut her in two.
It's just human beings in that situation.
Yeah.
Cut her in two. Are we all in Salmon?
That's wondering if you're going to get that. Since I picked this, I'm going to go first. In all honesty, this is probably one of my all-time favorite movies, so I might be a tad bit biased. But for me, this is a 5 out of 5. This is simple. It's entertaining. It's proof you don't have to have a complicated movie to have it entertaining, which is something I think modern movies forget.
I could see that, but, you know, I gotta say, you know, for me, it had a lot of fantasy elements to it as a kid, and I think if I really was just going off, it'd be like nostalgia, but, you know, I don't know, I can't go that high. I think I gotta leave it at about a 4.
I was thinking you'd do that.
Man, I actually, I sort of agree, like, 100% with
Wait, hold
John.
On. We actually have a call.
Oh, shit.
Hello?
I'm Dan.
Hey, this is the old guy.
Hey, oh, old guy.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
So it's been a while. What show are you doing tonight?
Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, my.
Apparently the old guy doesn't watch the show either.
Or read the post.
No, actually, I knew. I just thought I decided to help you plug your show a little bit more. Hello.
Okay, so hey, Rob, I got a question for you, man.
All right.
1960, this movie comes out. I imagine you've seen it.
Yes.
A lot, trust me.
No, not
Disney,
because but...
I'm looking for kind of what it was at the time, you know, like what the feeling was. I mean, how old were you in 60?
Well, so I would have been
17.
Sorry, Ryan froze.
Okay.
Oh, no, I didn't. I just didn't hear what he said.
How old were you?
I would have been 8 years old.
8 years old.
Oh, so, I mean, that would have been, like, the perfect time to see it. I mean, like, what was Disney to the general public? What was this movie when it came out?
Oh, it was one of these kind of movies for all of us that was amazing. The effects, the color, the music, everything that went along with it was... As a kid, was, you know, one of those things you went, how cool is this adventure?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would be feeling at that time.
But, I mean, not even at the time. I mean, I was in, it was probably 1990 when I first saw this movie, and I felt the same way, you know?
So what was your rating on this, Ryan?
5, man. I agree with you, absolutely. I mean, the movies kind of forgot these days how to tell... Just a really simple linear story without.
I'm assuming he's going to say all the extra accoutrements. But let's see.
Are we having bandwidth issues?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not going to say, but just to have all these things come together in a simple way and tell this incredible escapism type of story, you know, it's perfect.
So, if you were going to give it a rating, Rob, from when you can remember, what would you give it?
Yeah. Well. You know what? As a kid, at the time, it would have been spectacular. It would have easily been a 5. And maybe as an adult, and since I didn't sit down and rewatch the movie again, you know, I'm going to say that I'll stick with my memories, and I'm going to give it, for the period of time this movie was made, and for, I think, all the advancements they made, and for the storyline and everything they put together, I'd give it a 5.
Hey, sweet.
Rob, this movie holds up, man. Watch it again.
Great.
Somebody you know owns it, so he'll let you borrow it.
Okay. Yes, I do know. So I just wanted to jump in and say hi to you guys, give you my opinion on that. I wanted to make sure that your audience watches Crime Beat coming up on Wednesday with Sheriff DeAugustini. If you guys can help get that plug, it's an important show. A lot of things are going on in El Dorado County as far as budgets for the Sheriff's Department and other public safety.
Okay.
So it's an important thing on my show, Crime Beat, on Wednesday at noon. We'll be live with the Sheriff. So we look forward to that, and I'm glad I was able to give a 2 cents worth of something that I loved as a child, and I'm glad you guys liked it as well. I'm glad it held up.
Thank you.
It does. Thanks for giving a call.
Good to hear from Rob.
All right, guys. Well, you have a good show, and I'll pop in from time to time and say hi.
Awesome.
Sounds great to me.
Cool,
all right. Damn. Bye.
Hey, so the old guy didn't forget how to use a phone. So, just want to let you know.
Old guy tech.
True. Let you know, we do have a Facebook page. You love us. Do you hate us? Hey, you could even tell us we suck. Just be a little bit more creative about it. Also, you can pause for the cause and donate to Old Guy Tech TV and Real Flicks Reviews to help keep the lights on. And the other thing is, we now are also an audio podcast. You can catch us on Stitcher and the other ones on there, Podbean, iTunes, and more. Make sure you give us a listen, please. And
we're better when you don't have to look at us.
Right. At least for Ryan. And so there is some interesting movie news. My favorite one is fan fiction about Incredibles 2, how the next villain might be everybody's favorite Scarlet Speedster, Dash. What do you think?
All
right. Ryan?
That's everyone's favorite Speedster?
It is Disney.
Wait, hold on. This is fan fiction for what?
This is
Incredibles.
This is for the Incredibles 2. This is their one of their Disney's second or Pixar's first superhero, and they're going to say they're thinking that Dash could actually be the villain in the next one because he's always being told not to speed, not to, you know, do this, not to do that. So say he's a possibility if he's going to be the next bad guy.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, that'd be an interesting twist. I mean, you know, teenage angst.
Yeah.
That's
kind of what happened to Quicksilver.
And so it's interesting. The Assassin's Creed movie with Michael Fassbender has actually released some more images. What do you think? Is this a movie you guys wanted to see? Could it be the next Tomb Raider? Which, didn't do well.
I think it's an interesting enough concept, just two sentences on paper, that it could be good. I mean, I'd say about 50% of the actual games are really good and really tell like a kind of a cohesive story. The other ones get bogged down in the back and forth of it all. But the concept of itself, the first game concept, going back and reliving your ancestors' memories to try to find something that's hidden in the present, that could be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think they would do it? Do you think they do it well or do it justice? I mean, the problem with the Tomb Raider thing is that the game was an adventure game with a female character, kind of turned a little too much sex. Do you think they won't kind of do this the same thing? It'll be about, you know, flash in the pan.
I mean, see, that's definitely a risk. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to mess this movie up.
Yeah. Prince of Persia.
A few ways to do them really good.
Because I'm worried at being like Prince of Persia or Wing Commander, both movies I find entertaining, but they're not good movies by any...
No.
That's a good point. The track record for these kinds of things is not good.
And one of them was actually made by a well-known director, and the other one, a director who, thankfully, I think has stopped making films. The other one is interesting. Is there more information on some of the new Universal Monster movies are going to be made? The Invisible Man, which is already set to star Johnny Depp. The Bride of Frankenstein, which is being read.
What is doing that?
The Bride of Frankenstein, which is being written by David Cope, K-O-E-E-P. And the Wolfman, and the other thing is, allegedly, all these characters are supposed to interact with each other, so they're all going to be in the same universe.
Okay.
Which is a new twist for monster movies, at least for the last, I think, 50 years.
Well, without the thing of, you know, like and the Three Stooges or shit like that, or Meet Laurel and Hardy.
And see, this was something I was hoping you were going to have Brendan Fraser's character from the original Mummy do, was fight all these characters.
I don't think he's acting anymore.
The last thing I heard
he got monkey boned.
Oh, jeez. The last movie he did, was it Journey to the Center of the Earth or something like that? I heard he kind of screwed himself.
Yeah, I think it was Journey to the Center of the Earth.
So what do you think? I know we've talked about this a little bit. Is this something that, you know, knowing a little bit more, that it's interesting to you? By the way, Dracula, Van Helsing, etc.
Yeah, yeah. I think as far as these movies go, I think they do need remakes every so often, because these are staples of the film industry. If you look at the film industry and where it got its start, I mean, a lot of this, these were the classics. These are the originals that really made people fall in love with film.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you talk to somebody probably on their deathbed or already in the grave, and you bring up Dracula, they automatically, you know, think of the black and white, not the crap that was remade.
Wait, they don't think of shiny vampires?
They would hit you with their cane.
Well, see, that's the thing, is everyone's kind of gone off and done, like, these really crazy versions of it and whatnot, but like James, I mean, was saying, I mean, you know, the movie industry was almost built on the big Hollywood monsters, the Universal, you know, big, you know, King Kongs and things like that. But I mean, more simply, just the mummies and Dracula. I mean, you could remake Dracula. Everyone's got their own Dracula.
I see. I'm really looking.
They made 14 Draculas from 1927 to 1940,
and all of them starring what was it, Jason? No.
Well, Boris Karloff did the first one.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that just died. He was in Lord of the Rings.
Bela Lugosi do a couple.
He was in a lot of them.
Yeah.
I forgot what his name. He was in Lord of the Rings. He played one of the bad wizards. He was in a good portion of them.
You had Lon Chaney as the Wolf Man. I mean, Dad.
I can't think of the name. I would have said Lugosi, which we're feeling.
I see. I'm hoping they're good. What I'm really looking forward to is a vampire movie that, you know, is more towards Interview with a Vampire than Twilight. A little bit more serious essay in it, if you will.
And I'm looking for something even between. Just tell me the Dracula story again.
Yeah. You know?
And by the way, let's have a decent one, not like Jack. Yeah, was it Dracula Untold or Chained? Well, then there was a recent one, too, that was even bad.
I think you're talking about Dracula Untold.
Whatever it is.
Dracula Untold. That was pretty recent, and that was terrible.
Same basic thing.
Yeah, I watched it just because I'm a Dracula fan, but yeah, it was not good.
Ugh, I don't believe the fact you watched it, kind of. Unfortunately, I've seen it.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Dracula.
Christopher Lee is the gentleman I was thinking of. He played a lot of Dracula movies.
You know, I think they do need to be remade, and and hopefully, I mean, like, they try to set a standard with it. But it seemed like, I think the Wolfman, the most recent one, was subpar.
Except with Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah, it was subpar as far as the Wolfmans go, but it was one of the better retellings in the past 20 years. But as far as the standard of it goes, it was subpar. So, everybody's got their own little versions. Like Jack Nicholson did Wolf in the 90s.
American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, American Werewolf in London. And
yeah, see, that's the thing, though, is after a while, it's not just the story of the Wolfman. It's the Wolfman and the something-something. Wolfman and, like, the adventure of eating the guy in London. That kind of stuff.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping instead of a modern take on it, I want them to go back in time. I want this to be a period piece. Because I think if this was a period piece, I think it would be amazing. I'm kind of tired of, hey, look, it's Dracula in 2016. It kind of sucks, honestly. Yeah. And I don't mean that as a pun. The movies are horrible.
And especially for stuff like The Mummy. I need that set in, like, the 1920s.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Indiana Jones time.
Yeah.
When it's sort of like the height of this, like the early archaeology days and whatnot, with limited materials and people scared of superstition. And
Now, I would be cool.
Why don't you do Wolfman like World War II period or World War I period, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
See, I
better than The Horse movie or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, because these legends don't really exist anymore. But, I mean, they did still kind of, you know, back in the, you go back far enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, and another piece of movie news is an answer to every geek's angst versus Lucas. There was a gentleman who was actually in the movie, says, even Greedo thinks Han Solo shot first. So you hear it first.
I thought that was settled already.
No.
And I thought it was pronounced Greedo.
Greedo? Hey, come on. I can't pronounce anything.
He's French.
Oh, jeez. So I thought that was interesting when the guy was in it was said Han Solo shot first.
Yeah.
Look, he knew the version of the movie that he filmed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, they go back and make the shit in the 90s. I mean, that doesn't do anything to his shoot day.
Yeah. Oh, and another little tidbit of movie news is Hugh Jackman is going to be doing the last Wolverine movie again. He's going to play Wolverine for the last time again.
Is this Wolverine going to be even more jacked than the first
one? Well, you know, I commented on the post because Stan Lee posted it up on his Facebook thing. And, you know, I commented on there like, isn't this like his third or fourth time saying this? And somebody actually replied back and said he's trying to go out on a good note. And, you know, I think that really summed up why Hugh Jackman has been returning to the Wolverine role.
What, you mean Legends of Wolverine wasn't a great movie?
Well, I gotta say, though, I mean, Hugh Jackman
or Wolverine
plays
Origins.
Wolverine really, really well.
The problem
but
is the
surrounding
scuffed.
Plot line of it has always killed the role. So... You know, yeah. I got to give him credit. You know, he wants to leave the Wolverine franchise, but he wants to leave it on his terms, which I think is a good thing.
Well, I mean, shit, we all remember, you know, what it was like seeing him on the screen for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
In the cage. I mean, that was one of the coolest scenes ever in a movie.
So instead of being like Holly Berry's exit from the X-Men, just being blown off screen? And so one more piece of movie news. Is I read this on the Wikipedia entry regarding the Swiss Family Robinson. Apparently in 2009, Slash Films said there was supposed to be a remake of this movie by Disney called The Robinsons, starring all of Will Smith's kids and his wife.
No.
And I'll be honest, I really used to be a big fan of Will Smith. Not really a fan of him now.
Jada Pinkett's ruined him.
I actually think it's time for Will Smith to go away. Even though I'm looking forward to seeing...
No, hold on. Not a chance.
Even though I'm
as long as he wants.
I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad, though.
His wife and his kids. I mean, I like Jada Pinkett Smith. I think she's awesome too. But man, the kids they need to make it on their own.
Yeah.
Can't just make pictures with dad.
Yeah.
So that being said, next week is.
We haven't talked about MacGyver.
Oh well, we'll have to do it another week. We're running out of time. We're actually out of time.
All right. Anyway, so next week is my pick. Ryan really wants to see, you know, Paint Your Wagon, but I think I'm going to go a different route, and I'm going to be doing Adam's Family.
Nice.
So that
the first one, right?
With Rob Julia and
Angela Bassett. Close enough.
Bassett, really? So we're going to be doing Adam's Family that came out in 94, I believe it was. I had it pulled up, but I had to go back to here because the episode I'm going to be doing is The Shield, Season 1, Episode 4, Dog Days.
Dig it.
Cool.
So, there we go.
And so, unfortunately, we ran out of time to talk about this week's TV show. Yeah, that's what happens. And
91, I'm sorry, people.
And I gave the Swiss Family Robinson, made in 1960, a 5 out of 5. James gave it a 4 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 5 out of 5. And the old guy, popping out of the ethereal via cell phone or landline or smoke signals, gave it a 5 out of 5. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.